From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Our Naps Chat guest this week is Naps Executive Vice President Chuck Molador. I'm going to ask him to sit tight for a couple of minutes while I share some of the latest news about H.R. 3076, the Postal Reform Act of 2022. Most important, H.R. 3076 is tentatively scheduled for a floor vote next week, that is, the week beginning February 7. Three actions took place this week clearing the way for bill consideration. First, the House Ways and Means Committee discharged itself from further consideration of H.R. 3076. The committee had been granted sequential jurisdiction on the bill, and for the past 8 months has been working with the Oversight and Reform Committee to clarify certain provisions in the bill. Second, the House Energy and Commerce Committee followed suit and also discharged H.R. 3076 from its consideration. And third, the House leadership officially placed H.R. 3076 on the House calendar for imminent floor action. At this point, we expect early next week the House Rules Committee will approve a so-called rule that would govern debate on the bill, as well as what amendments, if any, would be permitted. Upon Rules Committee action, the bill will be placed on the House agenda for debate and a vote. At this point, we anticipate that the vote will take place mid to late next week. One wrinkle appeared on the horizon on Wednesday this week, with the Environmental Protection Agency raising newfound concern about the Postal Service proceeding with the purchase of a gas-fueled delivery fleet to replace its antiquated fleet. The House-passed Build Back Better bill includes funds to purchase electronic delivery vehicles for the Postal Service, but that bill stalled in the Senate. In addition, H.R. 3077, the Committee-Approved Postal Improvement Act, also includes funds for the electronic vehicles, but that bill has yet to be scheduled for a floor vote. Consequently, postal leadership is not waiting and is going forward with the purchase of vehicles, 90% of which will be gas-fueled. Numerous well-placed congressional sources have indicated that this controversy should not delay a floor vote on the bill next week. The version of H.R. 3076 to be brought up next week differs a bit from the bill as it was approved by the House Oversight and Reform Committee in May 2021. However, the bill retains a number of its core elements, namely repeal of the retiree health prefunding requirement, an establishment of a postal-only health program within FEHBP, better integration of FEHBP for Medicare participants, the creation of a publicly accessible online postal performance portal where postal customers can view performance by zip code, and a requirement that the Postal Service maintain an integrated six-day delivery network. The differences between the committee-passed bill and the one which the House will vote on, those include a two-year delay in the effective date of a postal-only health program within FEHBP and the implementation of Medicare integration. The effective date for both provisions is now January 1, 2025. Also, the revised version of the bill expands the group of those exempt from Medicare enrollment to include retirees covered by the Veterans Administration Health System and the Indian Health Service, as well as retirees residing abroad. The committee-passed version already exempted employees over the age of 64 on the date of implementation and those already retired on that date. The revised legislation also authorizes the creation of a major interactive health education initiative to be conducted by the Postal Service in collaboration with the Office of Personnel Management. Okay, Chuck, what's your reaction to this positive news?
Well, thanks, Bob, for having me on Naps Chat. Always a pleasure to be here. It's very exciting, isn't it? I mean, we're on the cusp of having the first significant piece of postal legislation since 2006, and it's taken us over 15 years to fix PAEA, and this legislation would go a long way to doing that. So it's very exciting, and I'm really appreciative of the role that NAPS and NAPS members have played in getting us to this point. We're not there yet. You know, as Yogi said, I think it's not over till it's over, right?
Absolutely.
And we'll see it all the way across through to the finish line.
Now, we're going to talk a little about legislative training seminar in a couple of moments, but we've really talked about repealing the pre-funding requirement for the past 15 years at each and every LTS since then.
That's correct.
It's sort of like, you know, you do, it's like Groundhog Day. This is the first week of February.
Right.
And Groundhog Day was February 2nd. It's like we're replaying the same record over and over again. But this year might be very different.
It might be very different. And I can't let myself go there yet. I've got to see it. I got to see the roll call. I got to see the votes. But we're there. And a lot of hard work has gone into getting there. So it's exciting. It's going to be something we'll talk about at LTS, hopefully, in hindsight somewhat. And then we'll start shifting gears into what's on the horizon next for us.
Now, Chuck, I know we're planning an action alert to NAPS members this week to alert them about the pending legislation and it coming up for a vote next week. Tell me what NAPS members ought to be doing in the meantime.
It's really very simple. Help us get this across the finish line. Contact your House members, Republican and Democrat. Because remember, this is a very, very bipartisan bill. One of the co-sponsors of this bill, Republican James Comer, will, we think, hopefully be at LTS to talk with us about these and other some other things. But this is a Republican and Democratic bipartisan bill. So regardless of who your congressperson is, reach out to them and urge them strongly to support passage of H.R. 3076.
Now, I know we don't want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak, but clearly should the House pass H.R. 3076, our focus turns to the Senate and their hopeful passage of the legislation and to H.R. 3077, the Postal Improvement Act. How will this change our activities in the upcoming legislative training seminar?
Right. So, and we've laid some of that groundwork already with the Senate, right? We've met with the chairman of the committee, Senator Peters, talked about this in anticipation of this at some point coming through the House. We've got good feedback on that. Now, whether or not the Senate will have taken this up by March, we don't know. With the impending confirmation of a Supreme Court justice and Build Back Better and all these other things that they're dealing with right now. We'll see. But if not passed by LTS, certainly we'll move into high gear on the Senate to get S-1720 or whatever iteration that bill comes across from the House in. And then we'll shift focus only to the Senate bill, the companion bill to H.R. 3076, but to H.R. 3077, which is NAP-sponsored legislation, largely that will help us improve, I think, a lot of things for our membership.
But also, Senate passage of H.R. 3076 sort of sets the stage for Senate confirmation, potentially, of two new Board of Governors, Daniel Tangerlini, as well as Derek Kahn. So there's added incentive to pass 3076 in an expeditious manner.
Absolutely. And again, the Senate, a lot on its plate. So we're going to keep our focus on doing exactly that, getting 1720 through the committee and onto the floor. We believe there's bipartisan support in the Senate, that we believe there's 60-plus votes in the Senate, which is the threshold we need to overcome. We believe those votes are there, but we're not going to take it for granted. We'll keep pushing it as hard as we can. And if we have to get across the finish line of the LTS, we'll have our delegates up there pushing that as hard as we can as well.
S-1720 is the Senate companion to H.R. 3076.
Right.
Since H.R. 3076 has undergone some revisions in consideration of ways and means concerns, it is quite possible that the Senate will take up H.R. 3076, so it won't have to come back to the House of Representatives. They're going to go through this legislative process to expedite consideration. At least we hope that's going to be the case.
That's right. We hope.
So one should not be confused by the H.R. 3076 or S-1720, because ultimately it's going to reach the same conclusion.
And the best scenario is that language comes across, it's included in the bill, and there's no debate back and forth between the two houses, and it passes and it gets to the floor, and it gets a positive vote there, and it goes to the desk of the president, which we expect would sign the legislation when it reaches his desk.
And our listeners should know that the chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, Karen Maloney, as well as the ranking member, James Comer, have been working very closely with the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Gary Peters, and the ranking member, Robert Portman. So there were all four players who are have key roles in postal legislation have been working together to make this happen. So the wheels are greased.
The wheels are greased, and I think that, you know, sometimes it's just the right time. And maybe we've had to wait 15 long years to fix PAEA. Not that this bill does everything that that we would like it to do. Let's say that it does what it needs to do, and that's important. And it's got full support from obviously leadership of the Postal Service. It appears to have bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate, and the administration. So it's exciting to think that we could be on the cusp of doing something really that's on behalf of the Postal Service. But, you know, what helps the Postal Service helps us all out, right? I mean, it helps NAPS members to have a strong and viable Postal Service around for another 250 years. That's what we want.
Let's talk a little bit about the legislative training seminar, which is sneaking up on us around 2 months away.
Less than
2 months away.
Yeah.
How are the plans going?
It's going. It's a lot of work, as you know. It's my first LTS as executive vice president. A lot of work going into the planning of it. But, you know, we're going to have, I think, as much as we can, a return to what we've always done in terms of the LTS, having it here in Arlington, Virginia, having it in person, having a Sunday program, having a Monday program. Sending our folks up to the Hill on Tuesday and Wednesday, if necessary, to meet with their legislators. So a little bit different process. We've talked about that this year, how to interact on the Hill. A little different than we've done in the past, but very doable. We'll educate our members as much as we can between now and LTS. And while we're at LTS, we'll educate them, and then we'll be here to assist them in getting those meetings scheduled with their people up on the Hill, the representatives on the Hill.
Now, registration is a little bit different than in previous years also. Mm-hmm. So as people register for LTS, can you talk a little bit about that?
It used to be that if you were going to register maybe 5 people or 10 people, right, you would just do the registration, put it all on one credit card, and all the registrations form might come to one person. But now we'll have to have separate registrations for each person. So if 10 people are coming from your branch or 5 people are coming from your branch, each person has to have their own separate registration, and they'll get their own separate registration receipt. So a little different process to do it. I don't think it's a lot more cumbersome, and it seems to have been going pretty smooth so far. So I think that's the one major adjustment in the registration process. It's up. It's on the website. It's live. It's ready to go. And, of course, if anybody has issues, they can always call us here at NAPS headquarters. We'll walk them through it.
We've received some inquiries at NAPS headquarters about the daily agenda of the conference. Now, I know it hasn't been finalized, but in broad terms, can you talk about how the agenda is going to be set up?
Yeah. On Sunday, which would be March 27th, we'll have our usual type of Sunday program. We'll have our wreath laying at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers in Arlington National Cemetery. That will be at 11:15, I believe, on Sunday, the 27th. We'll have our church service that we normally have there. We'll have that. We'll have our town hall with the board and resident officers in the afternoon, state legislative chairs dinner in the evening. So kind of a traditional, normal first-timers on Sunday. and Monday into the normal program. Opening ceremonies, we'll have some, I believe, postal guests, congressional guests, some interactive things that we'll do, talk a lot about legislation, and we'll talk a lot about politics. It's a big political year, right? 2022, maybe one of the more significant political years, midterm elections we've had in a long, long time. So we'll have that type of agenda going. I think it's going to be a very good agenda. I think it's exciting. I think that we're at the beginning of a very exciting legislative and political process in 2022. So I encourage people to come, get involved, and I think we'll have an enjoyable time.
Yeah, as you stated, you know, we've extended invitations to a number of members of Congress. We've confirmed the ranking member of the Oversight and Reform Committee, James Comer. He's agreed. We have a couple of more that are tentative at this point. So it'll be, as you indicated earlier, it's going to be coming back to the way it used to be to some extent, but there'll be certain tweaks that will make it more exciting, entertaining, and innovative.
Right. We've had a confirmation from one of the Board of Governors, Ron Stroman, who was Deputy Postmaster General. Ron was always a person we enjoyed listening to and seeing at our many events. He'll be there at LTS in his role as one of the Board of Governors, and we'll have a little presentation from him, and we'll also do a little fireside chat, him and I, to talk about some important issues and how he sees his role now transitioning from the Deputy Postmaster General over to a Board of Governors. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, from being an executive to be involved in governance is a sort of a change.
Correct.
And he worked on Capitol Hill also. Mm-hmm. So, right. And he worked for the Government Accountability Office at one point in his career. So as he transitioned through a numerous positions within the federal government, had what he's learned on the way to the Board of Governors.
Exactly. Yeah, looking forward to it.
One of the other sort of initiatives that we've taken this year is our Charging in 2022 SPAC gift raffle. And that is running
right now.
And prior to LTS, in preparation for LTS. Right. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I want people to go on the website and look at just some of the prizes they can win in the raffle. A lot of great prizes that we have that up there to raise money for SPAC. We're doing very well on a daily basis with that. The money, you get a great prize, an opportunity to win a great prize, but the money is going to something that will benefit all of us who are working in the Postal Service as well as those who have retired from the Postal Service, right? Because 3076 benefits the Postal Service. H.R. 3077 benefits NAPS members. Two bills that are part of that, H.R. 1623 and H.R. 1624, benefit NAPS members directly, NAPS-sponsored legislation there, as well as gives us the wherewithal to fight off the multiple attempts every single legislative session to reduce retiree benefits, retiree rights, what they've earned through their long years of government service. So SPAC gives us that, and it also gives us the ability this year, specifically this year, very difficult year. We've had so many retirements on the Democratic side and Republican side, not quite as many, but many on the Democratic side and Republican side as well. And we have folks running for office that we don't know them very well. So we have to interview them and see how they feel about the Postal Service, how they feel about NAPS, how they feel about our issues. So we have some education to be done in that arena. And we have to find people that want to continue as legislators to promote a positive agenda for the post office and for NAP. So we have a lot of work cut out for us. We have a lot of people to see. And as I often say all the time, you know, NAPS is what greases the wheels. Money is what greases the wheels. I'm sorry. Money is what greases the wheels in politics and in Congress. So the more that we have, the more that we can do. So we start off 2022, charging into 2022 with this SPAC raffle. Help us raise some funds. We'll continue to raise money at the LTS and, of course, moving throughout the year. We need that support from our members to help us have a robust war chest for the upcoming midterms.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in your February column in the Postal Supervisor magazine, you quoted Jesse Unruh, the former Assembly Speaker for the state of California, who said, money is the mother's milk of politics.
I quoted you quoting Jesse Unruh. That's where that came from.
You didn't attribute it to me quoting, but I appreciate that. But that, how true that is.
It is very true, and many people, and I know I hear that, and I understand. We wish we could legislate based upon the right thing to do, right? That people just did what was right, and it was not so much about money. But the reality is that it's a lot about money. And to get our message out there with a lot of competing messages, right? We have a lot of competing voices, a lot of competing interests, not just on postal legislation, but all other kinds of interest groups out there that are advocating on behalf of their particular interests. So we have a lot of voices out there. Money allows you to have a larger voice, and the more money you have, the larger your voice. So that's what the raffle is all about, and it's what our fundraising is all about throughout the year.
And on that note, it's important to make reference that UPS, the United Parcel Service, mm-hmm. and FedEx are two of the largest contributors to Congress in terms of political action committee in support of candidates that support their views. So the combined postal employee associations and our allies have to compete with our competitors to get not only face time with members of Congress, but actually to support our allies.
Right, exactly. And it's great to see that we have support from all the postal stakeholders, the unions and management organizations behind HR 3076, along with the Postal Service. We all recognize the importance of the legislation. I'm sure we'll have that same coalition behind 1720 as we push this across the finish line. So it's, when we all get together, there's really nothing we can't accomplish. And we may not have the big bucks like some of these other ones do, UPS, a huge donor on the Hill, FedEx. We don't have maybe the resources they have, but we got something they don't. And that's, we have the commitment of people who care and want to put the work in. And that makes up for a lot of the difference.
Let's talk about a little bit, and final question about the recognizing those who do contribute to mm-hmm. SPAC, or the Supervisors Political Action Committee. And we have pins and mm-hmm. We give certificates and so forth. One of the events that we have at our LTS is our SPAC dinner. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of evolved over the years where we want to recognize those donors who have given the largest amount of money towards our SPAC cause. So we feel it's appropriate that many of those folks will actually be at LTS because they're obviously involved in the legislative and political process. So we want to reward them and thank them and honor them at our LTS. And we have a SPAC reception there. And we'll have a nice sit-down dinner this year. We're going to have some live music this year to entertain everybody before and after dinner. It'll be a very nice affair, and I think it's a well-deserved thank you to those folks who have given so much. And I just want to say, Bob, last year we had 896 donors give to SPAC.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 24,000 members approximately that work in the Postal Service every day. So we appreciate 896, whether you gave $5 or you gave $5,000, we appreciate you. But we encourage you now to reach out to others that you work with, that you know that are postal employees, especially that are still working, and have them give, even on the drive for $5 out of their paycheck. Imagine if we had 2,000 or 3,000 more of those people just giving $5 a pay, how much more effective we could be with the funds we could raise just by doing that. So we're gonna find ways, and we're gonna talk about ways that we're gonna increase that base of support moving forward. But the SPAC dinner and the SPAC reception at LTS is an excellent way to honor those who have given to our cause.
And what's the qualification for participating in the SPAC dinner?
It's only $750. It's a modest amount. It's a very healthy amount. It's a very helpful amount. So $750 and above can come to the SPAC reception, bring a guest, and have a good time, enjoy a good dinner, some good conversation, and have some fun once dinner is over.
So the invitation was extended to those who reached the VP Elite category in 2021. Right now, we're sort of raising funds for the 2022 SPAC.
That's right.
Which will be for LTS next year.
Right. And I'm looking forward to having even a bigger dinner in 2023 SPAC reception than we're having in 2022. So the more that give, hey, we want to have as big a SPAC reception as possible. So we encourage folks to reach that 750 and above level and then reach out to their coworkers, their friends in NAPS to start helping out as well.
I want to thank Chuck Mulladore, NAPS Executive Vice President, for joining us this week on NAPS Chat.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
And also I want to thank you, our NAPS Chat listeners, for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to stand right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going to